So I don't know about you, if you've ever had these moments when you read your Bible and you're reading it and you think to yourself what you're reading isn't for you. You know, you're like, this doesn't really apply to me. You know what I mean? Like you're reading it and you like the passage, it's good, you know, maybe some other people come to your mind. You're like, oh, I know who needs to hear this, you know? And then you read it and like, you're like, but it doesn't really apply to me, right? And then the Holy Spirit goes, it doesn't, you know? And then you're like, oh, shoot, you know? And because God knows you, you know what I mean? Like even when you don't know you, right? And the Bible is a way of getting into us and showing us who we are. I mean, I read this passage and look, I read this passage this week, and I got to tell you, I had this moment where I'm like, God, I don't really deal with that. This isn't really my problem. You know, like, I don't have this problem. And man, God in the middle of that was just like, you don't? And I had to, like, do some serious, like, just praying, looking at myself in all honesty and realizing, like, man, maybe I resonate with this more than I think. And it's convicting. It was super convicting. And look, I'm not saying this just to get you to listen. I'm saying because it's true. Like, if this is not affecting me, if this isn't affecting us as pastors on staff, if the word isn't reading me, then how can I give to you what the Lord wants me to give to you if it's not reading me? Relationships are a funny thing, man. We get into relationships, and oftentimes, listen, if you're an unbeliever, right, if you don't know who Christ is, and you remember when you didn't know Jesus, you got into relationships primarily for what you could get out of them. Right? It was like, what can this person give me? And we all know women who have been in relationships with men that have said things like, women in the room, you're listening, right? Have said things to us like, all he ever wants is this, right? This is all he ever wants, right? Like, he doesn't want me. He just wants what I can, he just wants this thing, right? And men have gotten in relationships with women and they've talked to me and gone, dude, the only time this woman contacts me is when she needs something. Money, way to get to somewhere, like, but she's not interested in me and my heart. Good relationships are when my heart and the heart of the other human being are coming in connection with one another in such a way that it doesn't really matter what they're doing for me or what I'm doing for them. We're doing it out of this space of going, I love you and just want to be around you. You know what I mean? Like, some of us have friends in this room that we just really enjoy. Anybody in this room have a friend that you're just like, man, they're my ride or die. They're the ones I call if I have to, you know, bury a body. Like that friend, you know what I mean? You're like, I got that friend that they're not going to ask questions. You know, they're just going to be like, I'm showing up. You know, we all need those friends. Not because we need to be burying bodies, but just because we need them. This is going to get flagged on YouTube being like, what kind of church is this? But, so we all know what it's like to be in relationships like that, where it's just, and look, I'm not saying that relationships, there isn't some kind of give and take. We understand that, right? We understand that there are things that I do for my wife, the way this passage hit me, we'll get there. The question I have for you tonight is, are we pursuing Jesus or the things Jesus can do for us? Because the gifts from the hand of our Savior is meant to lead us to the giver. But what happens is we also get caught up in the gift, right? We want the things instead of wanting the one who is giving us the thing, right? And in John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, let's turn there. John chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Listen, John's gospel is written to prove to you that Jesus is God incarnate. That's why the gospel of John is written. The entire gospel of John, there are stories in the gospel of John you will not find anywhere else in the gospels. in the other gospels, right? Jesus' first miracle is what? Turning water into wine at a wedding, right? What is Jesus showing? He's showing he has power over the elements, right? That's in John chapter 2. We see in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was been made that has been made. And then John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, right? It's all, like, everything about John is meant to be saying, hey, the Creator, the one that you've been, like, wanting to have come and be among, he's coming to dwell among you. And Jesus is saying to everyone in his time, I am the sustainer of life. I'm the one that you're looking for. Because remember, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, he said, what did he say? He said, man does not live on what? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then he says he is the Word. So then we get to John chapter 6. And listen to 6, starting in verse 30. Now this is after the feeding of the 5,000. You remember, Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? In John chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000. And what he does is he has these 5,000 people. This is really interesting. It's another God moment, right? Where God is showing it, where Jesus is showing himself to be God. He has them sit down, and it says the grass was really green there, or there was much grass. Which, why does he say that? Right? Because that's just weird. Like, why does John go, I just wanted you to know there was a lot of grass? You know? I was about to make a really bad joke. I'm not going to make it. But there was a lot of grass there. And because in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. When Jesus has these people sit down in the grass, he's going, look, I'm the shepherd that David wrote about. So we get to John chapter 6, verse 30. Now, Jesus has walked on water after this. He's done some crazy stuff already. But this crowd that he fed, the 5,000, they all had a fish sandwich that night, right? And so they're like, hey, this is pretty good, right? Never had a fish sandwich like that, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Jesus feeds all of them. And they seek him out. So they find him on the other side of the lake. And this is what they said. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Sorry. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're saying, hey, Jesus, you're great and all, but you remember that Moses cat? You remember Moses, man? Like, hey, he gave us bread. Remember, he just kept giving us bread to eat. What are you going to give us, Jesus? What are you going to give us? Right? Are you going to keep giving us this bread? They weren't looking for Jesus. They were looking for the bread. They wanted Jesus. They saw Jesus as a meal ticket. They're like, look, man, if we just keep following this guy, he's just going to keep feeding us. Right? It wasn't about Jesus. It was about what Jesus could do for them. And look at what Jesus says to them. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread. Hey, give us this bread always. We want that bread, Jesus. Right? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus is saying to them, man, I am that bread. I am the one who sustains you. It's about me. He's going, man, you're seeking this bread that's just gonna be, it's temporary, it's not lasting. I'm offering you myself. And this is where I got convicted. Because I was like, Lord, that's not me. And he goes, Aaron, remember when you were a new believer and you felt so close to me that you could like, it felt like you could just touch me. And you had this amazing feeling. And you felt so, now God took that away from me really early because he was wise, because he is wise. Because what he said to me was, dude, you keep seeking that feeling. Because I got to tell you, in my own walk, I've been like, I'm getting transparent here, but my own journey with the Lord, there have been moments where I'm like, God, where are you? God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I feel so distant. I just want to feel you, Lord. I just want to know you're there. I just want to. What I'm doing is I'm seeking the feeling I had before. When God has come to me and going, Aaron, I'm the God of every moment. Why are you seeking something that I did back then? I want to do something now. Because I think as Christians, we read this passage and we're like, I don't really feel like I'm a bread chaser. Maybe you're more of a bread chaser than you think. And maybe if we can just be honest with ourselves in the room, we'll realize that about ourselves. We chase the bread. Whether it's, listen, if I went to my wife and was like, yo, babe, listen, you don't make me feel like I did when we first got married. There's something wrong with you, right? There's something wrong with you. Like, I want to feel it. I want to feel the love and the, I want to feel all that. You know what I mean? And if I went to her and just said, if I constantly went to my wife and went, you aren't making me feel this way, what kind of relationship would that be? But I go to God all the time. I'm like, God, And God's going, Aaron, you have me. You have me. Why are you chasing that, man? So I don't know what the bread is for you. I don't know what that is. But Jesus is offering a relationship, but often all we want is the result. Jesus is offering us a real relationship with him. He's going, and listen, he's going, if I never give you anything else, if he never gives us anything else, we could pray and pray and pray. And if he never answers another prayer, he's worthy of being sought after. He's worthy of being praised. He's worthy of going after. He's worthy of all of that. We don't believe that, man. We don't believe that. Do you realize he gave himself for you? Like, you have eternal life in him. Like, if he never gave you anything else, that's enough to daily get on your knees. If I never feel God again in my life, he's worthy of being sought after. I got to tell you, that's where I ended up this week. I'm like, God, forgive me. I've made an idol out of how you make me feel. Because oftentimes we seek his hand instead of his heart. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, man. I'm going to turn there in my Bible because I like flipping the pages. Let's go. If I can find it. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me, and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Am I in the right place? Yeah, okay. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in flesh. It's all in Jesus. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Paul's going, listen, you may think you got together. Man, I had it together, dude. Like, you may think that you have every, you may think you are God's gift. I followed the law to a T. Like, I did everything right. And he's not lying because he's writing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For confidence of flesh, I have more. Circumcised in the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law of Pharisee, as to zeal persecuting the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. That word rubbish in Greek is a word we can't say in church. It starts with an S, has an H in it, and it ends with a T. That is the strength behind the word that Paul's using. Now, that might mess with some of you in this room. It might mess with some of your faith in this room. Listen, there's a lot in this Bible. That if that's the problem you have, we need to talk. In order that I may gain Christ. So he's like, everything I lost, everything I had suffered the loss of, man, I consider all that rubbish. The bread, I'm like, don't give me the bread. Give me him. I don't care about the bread. Because listen, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had everything going for him. He had in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of his religious, in the eyes of his religion, in the eyes of people looked up to Pharisees. He was a religious elite. No, Paul was looked up to. He studied under Gamaliel, who was like one of the greatest high priests. Like he was that guy, you know? He goes, man, I could have had all the bread, but I have the living bread. And he's enough. And be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Man, we don't like to suffer. In fact, a lot of things that you're chasing after as bread is the non-suffering. You're like, Lord, just make it easy for me. Look, have you prayed? I prayed that, dude. Like, Lord, can I just make it easy? And really what we want to be shot up with, like, some kind of, I don't know, like just something that God just goes, we just want God to do it. We're like, hey, God, just make me perfect right now. And God's like, so you don't want to do any work to get there? Nope, I just want to be the best me. He's like, it's impossible without your will intact. I'm not going to override your will. I'm asking you to cooperate with me and do this with me. Are you in? And we go, I'm in as long as you just do it. He's like, well, then you're not in. Right? Listen to what Paul says. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. This is Philippians 4. That now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need. He's like, I don't need the bread. Remember all those cats that followed Jesus to the other side of the sea? They're going, hey, you know Moses? Yeah, man, he gave us bread to eat. And Jesus is like, I am that bread. I am the bread of heaven. And then he goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has part with me. And you're like, and they're like, how can you give us this? How can this guy give us this flesh to eat? Hello, communion. I shouldn't mic drop right there, but I'm not holding a mic. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned. What is Paul saying? He's like, I've learned it. How do you learn something? By experience, right? You don't wake up knowing stuff. Look, I didn't know how to walk when I came out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know how to crawl when I came out. All I knew how to do was lay there, right? And my family had to go, put him on his stomach.
you know, tummy time. You know, any of you had kids, you know, you're like, lay them on their stomach, let them figure out, and you just sit there, right? And eventually you're like, oh, now I'm kind of up on my knees, right? And then you start like rocking, you know, you have babies, they start rocking, you know, none of us came out going, I got this figured out, man. We didn't come out, the doctor didn't spank us on the bottom and go, okay, go to work. Like, we learned things. But with Jesus, when you want to go, I don't want to learn it. I just want to have it. And God's going, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't, you don't have that in any other, God is like going to, he's coming to us and going, what part of life have you ever had that happen? And didn't I make this life to be a journey for you in the midst of your relationship with me? And you think you're just going to have it? You're meant to go through the crazy stuff. We're dealing with a lot of pain and heartache in some ways right now. And death is something, look, as a pastor, we deal with death all the time. And I don't know what your bread is in this room. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that thing is that you're going, man, I'm kind of, maybe I am seeking this instead of seeking Jesus. But I think sometimes when things happen in our life, right? Someone dies that we think shouldn't have. Listen, everybody dies. It's crazy. It is the great statistic. 10 out of 10 people die. Like everyone in this room, you're gonna die. Like you're gonna die physically. You're not gonna die spiritually, but you're gonna die physically. Well, you might die spiritually. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. But you're gonna die. And you don't know how it's gonna happen. Isn't that awesome? I'm sorry, but there's a part of that that's kind of exciting. You know what I mean? Like, because there's part, have you ever thought to yourself, like, I could go out this way, and how wild would that be? You know? Some of you are, like, so afraid of death, you're like, I can't even think about that. It just creeps me out. I don't like it, you know? But as a pastor, we deal with it all the time. And people always ask why, and I'm like, listen, it's part of the journey. Like, this suffering you're feeling, like, God is God over your death. God is God over your family in the midst of you dying. God is God over you when you die. God is in control. God has got you. But man, we're just constantly thinking that it's the bread. We're constantly thinking it's the person. We're constantly thinking it's the, and Jesus is going, I'm offering you myself. I'm offering you a Jesus wants a relationship, and we often just seek the result, man. I learned in whatever situation, not that I have, speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We use this verse in the most ridiculous ways. Because what is Paul saying? He's going, man, you know what? I've learned what it means to be content. Content. Why? Because I have him. I have him. I can do all things. I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we use that verse to talk about people being able to fly and stuff. We're like, well, you know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's like, that doesn't mean, we've all done the walking on water thing. We're like, I mean, Lord, I have faith I can walk on this water. I don't know, maybe you haven't tested yourself like that. But like, you know, I've done it. And I've always sunk, but I've done it. And I'm like, maybe I just don't have enough faith, Lord. But no, it's not what it means. But I've endured things because he's with me. Listen, Jesus has got to become everything to us. Jesus is it. He's it. Like, at the end of your life, do you realize the bills you got to pay, that everything that you are worried about in this moment goes away like that, and there's only one thing that matters in that moment, and it's him. But man, we're all about the bread, dude. We're like, where's the bread? And Jesus says, if you seek me and you seek my kingdom first, if you seek my righteousness and my kingdom, all these things will be added onto you, Matthew 6:33. Listen to what James reminds us of. James says this, count it all joy. Why? Because you understand that the reason why you're going through what you're going through is because you're on a journey with the Lord who made you. And there's things he's trying to teach you about him and you that he wants you to know before you get to glory. So count it joy. Do I do that? No. I want to say I do that. But if I'm being honest with you, when I'm going through it, I'm like many of you. I'm like, what's happening? And then there comes a moment of clarity where I'm like, God, you're in control. You got this, right? Because the Holy Spirit comes in and goes, stop being dumb, right? Remember who you are. Aren't you a pastor? Yes, but I'm still human, Lord. Yes, you are, you know. But I'm trying to get you to a point where you no longer go to the freak out moment, where you just automatically go to the, you got this, God. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So there's trials, and there's a lot of them, and they're extensive and various. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus wants you to have from his hand what he wants you to have, but he doesn't want you to get confused between the gift and the giver. He doesn't want you taken from his hand but missing his heart. But oftentimes we miss his heart. And oftentimes we're not pursuing him, we're pursuing the bread. Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we become a people who no longer seek after the bread, but that we seek after the bread of life. Jesus, you are our life. Lord, your word says that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. Lord, let us look to you. God, forgive us for the moments that we have looked at the bread and been deceived in thinking that that's what sustains us. Lord, let us have faith to believe that you are that bread, Lord. You are the sustainer. You are the creator, Lord. And Lord, help us to be focused on you, for we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.